This is Reverend Bookburn, and when I'm not counseling Senator David Diaperman Vitter or Pastor Ted Methman Hager, I'm broadcasting at VoltaRadio.com, Sunday nights, 9 to 11 or so, East Coast Time, USA, at VoltaRadio.com. Good evening. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight, we are doing a tribute to Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, 40 years after both of them has passed. And because of all the bullshit, because of all the ripoff artists, because of the conservative teabagger types redefining history and redefining the 60s and all the crazy shit that has happened since they died, we are going to do a show in tribute to them. We also have other 60s stuff, some rare stuff, one or two other rock guitar gods, and a recent track by the Reunited Seeds. Sadly, founder and singer Sky Saxton passed away last year on the same day that Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett Majors died. So he didn't get his due acknowledgement either. So we're going to play a recent era Seeds tune. That's coming right up. But first, let's get in the mood and play a track by Mei Pang from the compilation release Put Your Tongue to the Rail, the songs of the Jim Carroll Band, Philly Comp for Catholic Children. This is Maytag. I'm thinking of washing machines. It's not Maytag. This is Mei Pang doing Nothing Is True.
Okay, let's roll. Let's rock and roll.
You get nothing back for all you say, just eternity in a spacious grave. Nothing is true. She got tools on her tongue, just to time the stars. She drives all morning and
This is Halliburton, Ernie, and it's so good to be here tonight with Reverend Bookburn and Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist, and we're having a really good time preparing for the tribute to Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. And now we have a brand new song from our dear friend and Bookburner, Jana Perry. This is Hot Off the Press. It is her brand new song entitled Ballerina of the Bowery.
You can much better than that.
Hey, this is Deborah.
And Keith.
From the band Davey. And you're listening to Reverend Bookburn on The Reverend Is In at VoltaRadio.com.
Providing a moral support for indie bands and media since 2001.
Sense to salute the last moment of our journey.
A machine is a stennis foot, fetish butt with, without a scratch on a body, and we bid it farewell. Starfish and giant flumes greet us with a smile. Before our heads go under, we take a last look. Killing noise.
What the other style?
Ladies and gentlemen, how do?
Hey, baby, what's happening? God!
you heard The Damned doing White Rabbit and Love Song. Janis Joplin did Get It While You Can. Deborah and Keith from the band Davey did the Volta Radio Station ID and The Reverend Is In promo. Jimi Hendrix did And the Gods Made Love. And 1983, A Merman I Should Turn to Be, both from the Electric Ladyland release. Janna Perry did Ballerina of the Bowery. The Seeds did Summer of Love and started off with May Pang doing Nothing Is True. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In, and tonight we are doing a tribute to Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin 40 years after their passing. Jimi roughly a week ago and Janis roughly next weekend. And we are off next Sunday night. These guys are acting shocked. Can't take them anywhere when they're toasted. Yes, I'm sorry, Pastor Whoremaster and John Necraptist. We are off next week, but returning in 2 weeks on October 10th, where we will do a show to not miss, entitled Bewitched in Delaware. And if you are from far away from Philadelphia or the East Coast or the USA, Delaware is a little teeny tiny state south of Philadelphia and south of Jersey, and it has become a big media splash because out of all the nut job teabagger candidates that are running for offices for Congress in November 2010, one of the especially screwier ones has to be Ms. Christian supremacy, anti-sex, anti-choice, anti-masturbation, but just dabbled a little when she was younger in witchcraft, the one and only Christine O'Donnell. And if you haven't seen the hilarious videos from her appearances on Bill Maher's shows, they are worth watching. And we posted some at reverendbookburn.com. We're going to have a lot of fun with that show. And there will kind of be a masturbation sub-theme to that same show. October 10th, Bewitched in Delaware. And it will be very masturbation friendly as well, and we'll help you if you have difficulties, especially if you are trying to do so, if you're either gender, but if you were trying to do so with pictures of Christine O'Donnell. So we will help you. That's in 2 weeks. And still not sure when we're doing the celebration of the prison release of our longtime friend and book burner, Mr. Z, who was a prisoner of war in the war against weed. But, in fact, he's pretty much all the way out. I think it's no longer halfway house and job. I think now it's only job. And maybe an ankle bracelet, but I don't think they're online yet. And maybe not for a while, yes, Pastor Whoremaster. But, you guys really should talk into a microphone, even when you're resembling extras in a Cheech and Chong movie. But, yes, it might be a while before they are online. We do want them to hear it, and it probably means us sending even more money in that direction, but we will be doing that show as well in either October or November. And probably another sacred annual traditional show for the season, Halloween, towards the end of October, a kind of a beautiful synthesis of weed and Halloween. Halloween coming in October. Updates and details always for whatever direction this crazy ship takes at reverendbookburn.com. And there has been technical difficulties there. But now, if you click on any reverendbookburn.com link, or if you just kind of type it in directly, it automatically redirects you to the appropriate site, updated today. Lots of links and goodies, and I believe it's going to remain that way. But the old link works and automatically sends you to the appropriate place. And that wasn't our fault. That was a blogger.com issue. And not sure what happens, but big thanks to Nancy from Murgatroyd Productions for fixing that. And tonight's show, like all recent shows of the last 4 or 5 years, plus some gold and oldies, are to be uploaded and archived and permanently available for free at any time at Radio 4 All, Radio Numeral 4 All.net. Thanks to our friend and co-producer from afar, the legendary Pastor Rex Cat. And barring any kind of technical difficulty, that will be for tonight's show as well. And any more plugs? Oh, and wanted to give a plug for touring bands. And if you like punk, or if you ever liked punk, even a little, you want to see any of the following original legends who are touring now. Either Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine, Canada's very own DOA on a worldwide tour, and the Subhumans, and that means the Subhumans from Canada, despite one being in prison for a while and all kinds of problems that they've had. He was a political prisoner. They are reunited. I don't know if they're going out of Canada. They're also from Vancouver. But they are reunited and touring, the Subhumans, not to be confused with an English band called the Subhumans. Do we have birthdays? No birthdays and no death. So, we'll do a little bit of news and focus on the tribute. We don't want to shock you. We hope you're sitting down. Please don't be shocked. But in addition to the Catholic Church turning out to be the largest pedophile ring in history, between the perpetrators and the accomplices, those who covered it up and transferred perps knowingly, leading right up to the Pope himself. There is also a Vatican bank scandal, money laundering to the tune of an estimated $30 million. And even though the Italian government usually kisses that weirdo's ring, and probably some anatomical features as well, even they have had enough and are at least appear to be fiercely investigating and ready to take action. And we'll keep you posted on that. Money laundering. And it's funny because the comedy, The Pope Must Die, as it was called in the theaters, and then released on video, they chickened out after hearing from all these asshole groups and changed the name to The Pope Must Diet when it was released in the video age. Robbie Coltrane, who plays the Pope, actually responded to a Vatican Bank scandal and, like, hauled ass over there. And I don't want to ruin the movie because it's worth seeing, but... And started raising all kinds of hell over the Vatican Bank scandal, among all of its other scandals. And he started rolling heads. It was pretty enjoyable. So you can see The Pope Must Diet, as it is called now, if you want to see a prophecy, if you will, from the world of comedy in, I believe, the early 90s. For the what turned out to be the real life of 2010 Vatican Bank scandal. All right, any more news? Oh, speaking of theocrats, the American Christian Taliban group called the Family Research Council were among those who... were screaming and jumping up and down about Kate Perry's breasts on a Sesame Street video. You can't make this shit up. No, they were not exposed, but they were. It was a hot outfit. No exposure. And yes, John the Craptist. We did love that kind of stuff when we were younger, as opposed to now. And but the American Christian Taliban and miscellaneous parents jumped up and down, and so they're pulling her video off of Sesame Street. Isn't that special? So I just want to say to the other Taliban, congratulations on your latest victory. Yes, there are still assholes like yourself over here who are very strongly under your influence and got one more little victory censoring the provocative Sesame Street video. All right, there's more news, but I'm getting talked out and I'm going to start the tribute. Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin died 40 years ago, close to tonight. And Jimmy, the anniversary already passed. Janis, it's coming up soon. And it was horrifying because people always buy a lot of shit after somebody dies. And what was especially sad was that the money was going to assholes. Jimi Hendrix's estate, his elderly, financially struggling father, for years could not get money from these total assholes who were ripping him off and churning out endless Jimi Hendrix recordings. And like the people who release all of the crap of any band once they get their hands on it, you know, rarities, outtakes, shit the band wanted to throw away. We've got it all. And in addition to substandard products, many of them, and ripping off the Hendrix estate and being total assholes, so that it was not even cool to, like, buy any of this shit. They also made an uber stupid movie. Yes, most of the movies that have Hendrix in it and most of the concert ones are pretty good. The best Hendrix film of all by 20,000 miles is Jimmy Plays Berkeley, which was a live at Berkeley show in 1970, shortly before his death. The movie that had an actor playing Jimi Hendrix, who portraying Jimi Hendrix, was so ridiculous. And more than anything else, it was a dumbing down of Jimi Hendrix. Yes, he could talk like a stoner head much of the time. Yes, he can resemble, while speaking, the guys who were in here, Pastor Whoremaster and John the Craptist, you know, or Keith Richards. But he was spot on much of the times. There are many great interviews with him. There are many great quotes from him. And they had this guy who was portraying him acting like a total idiot and close to being a catatonic. And historically, it wasn't just dumbing down, but historically, it was also complete bullshit. So if you're going through the music section and you see the film where somebody plays Jimi Hendrix, know in advance that it is absolute crap. To a lesser extent, ditto Janis Joplin. After she died, there were some recordings that came out that were really good, and a movie that was good. Less necro ripping off. Sadly, there was talk of a film about her in the works by the world's worst filmmaker, Penelope Spheeris, who made The Decline of Western Civilization 1 and 2, which made all punks and metalheads look like total idiots, and was going to apply her skills to making a film about Janis Joplin. And I don't even know if that's going to be made or if it already is made, but spare yourself a kind of a depressing experience of watching Janis Joplin badly portrayed, if there is such a movie or if it does come to be. And it's the same with the necro assholes that released all the Kurt Cobain books and magazine articles and even films, and accusing Courtney Love of killing him and other total bullshit. And the Courtney bashers are just as fucked up as the Yoko bashers. And the Kurt necro industry is something where he himself would be sickened to see it. So it's also doing a disservice to him to pay these fucking necro freaks who are getting rich off of the memory of Kurt Cobain. All right, but we don't want to focus totally on the negative side of things. We did want to say that, but there is a lot of positive. And the total assholes wouldn't have a target like Jimmy or Janis or Kurt or Jim Morrison or anybody if they weren't significant. And so, I won't even say culturally, but representing the countercultures. Jimmy and Janis, both very prominent in the 60s rock and roll scene, as well as the counterculture of the time. They were parts of some of the greatest scenes to happen in modern history. Both participated at Woodstock. Both participated in great benefit concerts. Jimmy had contributed much money to some of the early legalized marijuana smoke-ins. And, yeah, I guess we can say that. They're not going to indict him. Actually, maybe they would, these crazy DEA fucks. But he contributed to the early smoke-ins. And they were just great, innovative, and high-quality musicians. And we're going to play more of them tonight and remember them for their greatness and not by the misrepresentations that saturate the market about them. Now, I am definitely talked out. The Damned is in the background, if it's loud enough, now turning off. We're going to play a song by other friends and book burners. This is going back a little ways. The band is called Benedict Arnold and the Traitors, and this is their classic track entitled Death Penalty for Pot.
Hey, man, it's a bummer about your cancer.
Yeah, man, like, I've been puking all night long. This, like, Marinar doesn't do damn thing.
How about a bong, man?
Sweet, dude. Hey, man, what's with the guys with the guns?
Please, babe, make love to me.
Thank you. fee, he would drop all the rest of his pressing affairs and devote his attention to me. But I said,
"Look here, brother, who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
Now who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
This is Dr. Greed, and I'm already sickened by having to treat patients with Medicaid and the uninsured. And now I have to introduce a song and participate in these disgusting shenanigans. Now we're playing a song by John Lennon and Yoko Ono with the Elephant's Memory Band, from their release in 1972, entitled Sometime in New York City. Now they have me introducing this disgusting political song from that time period, entitled Attica State.
Thank you.
you heard from Big Brother and the holding company, but that was after the passing of Janis Joplin. This was when they were reuniting and touring even with other women as lead vocalists in the 1990s. And they came through Philadelphia twice and were actually excellent. At the time of this recording, Lisa Battle was doing the vocals. And we're going to play a track from another woman who sang with Big Brother and Holding Company in the third set of music. But anyway, you heard Big Brother and Holding Company doing Do What You Love and Backdoor Jam. And that was by request by Bishop Eddie Longdong. Before Big Brother and Holding Company, John Lennon and Yoko Ono with the Plastic Ono Band and Elephant's Memory did Attica State from the Sometime in New York City release. Frank Zappa did Cosmic Debris. Bongwater did Ride My Seesaw. Aquaturbia did Erotica. And that is from the Love, Peace, and Poetry CD series. This particular release was Chilean psychedelic music. And they've actually released dozens of these lesser-known psychedelic bands from around the world in their series. And we love all of them. Before Aquaturbia, we started off with Benedict Arnold and the Traitors doing Death Penalty for Pot. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme is tribute to Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. And we covered thoroughly, or as much as we want to, the exploitation, the ripoffs, the bullshit products, the necro industry, and we acknowledge the good from them, the great art, the great people that they were, the benefits and prominence in the counterculture and movements of the time. And that should be the primary focus. You know, there's probably, we don't listen to rock and roll radio, but that should be the focus of any retrospective that acknowledges the 40th anniversary of their passing. And actually, I haven't even heard that much happening. What I dreaded, when I knew they were coming up, I dreaded some of the bullshit that might come out. And I was sure that the War on Drugs asshole groups would also do a lot of disparaging propaganda pieces using their names. But there is a reminder about that, which is that while weed is harmless and in their psychedelic phases, you know, there were no significant negative consequences. When things move on to powder and needle drugs and truly dangerous shit, probably most people listening know of a few people in their life history who really fucked up the scene, you know, when they got heavily into those kinds of strong drugs and addictive drugs and drugs that don't really accomplish anything but creating addictions in which they can't even get high after the first couple of times. The best they can possibly feel is staving off sickness and withdrawal symptoms. And so when you see people getting like that, you want to give them support in turning things in the opposite direction, because it really sucked that these people were gone way before their time. And they were great musicians and great people. All right, we'll get back to that. Wanted to cover a couple of other things before getting back to the music, before I forget or run out of time. How do you even say this guy's name? If you say it phonetically, you think his name is Boner. And yes, he's the guy we goofed on for two whole shows after he dissed Paul McCartney and demanded an apology because of Paul's joke about the mighty George W. Bush. It's B-O-E-H-N-E-R. So we like to think it's Boner, even though that's probably, it's possibly something that is incapable of happening with this individual. However, John Boner, or Boehner, besides trashing Paul McCartney and being a part of this stupendously absurd and idiotic The Pledge to America, written mostly by these fringe side of the Republican Party, the Tea Party supported candidates, and similar to what the Newt Gingrich crowd did in 1994, which that alone tells you something. The Newt crowd did the contract to America, referred to by most as the contract on America. And now these shitheads, who want to further fuck up the economy by permanently removing taxes for the rich and so much more, and fucking the unemployed, the middle class, and the poor. That's not enough for John Boner, who really looks orange. He looks like he's this fucking entity of radiation. Pastor Whoremaster is saying that's from these tanning places. God, I hope not. I know somebody who goes in them. The orange boner. But I guess he does have some function. I guess he does have a functional orange boner, because he is, what is he? What is anybody who is a fiscal conservative, a Christian supremacist, and an espouser of family values and morals and abstinence and sexual repressive laws against consenting adults of every kind? Yes, of course, he's a sex scandalizer. He is now caught in an affair. Oh, Boner. I think it's pronounced Boehner. B-O-E-H-N-E-R. But for all intents and purposes, he's an orange boner. Boner, before you fuck everybody's life up, before you install family values laws, more sexual repression, and economic and environmental devastation, you now have to rethink your choice to remain a public figure. Yes, we'll miss having that orange stone face to laugh at and profoundly idiotic quotes far, far removed from reality. But you may just want to hide under the rock that your 90s predecessors crawled out from under. Newt Gingrich, original teabagger Timothy McVeigh, and other anti-tax militia nuts and white supremacists. And just, although, Boner, you can't be a white supremacist. You can only be an orange supremacist. And that would be an interesting movement. Boner, sex scandal. And speaking of sex scandals, what do people who preach from the pulpit pure hatred and bigotry against gay people really do? Yes, of course, including the married ones. I wish you could hear these fuckers. They won't talk into the microphone, but they have so much to say. John Necraptist said, yes, he tasted the other side. And you're right. He tasted the other side. He tasted the other team. No, he wasn't hot and sweaty with his wife. He was hot and sweaty with male parishioners, some of which were very young. Who was this bigot, preacher of hate and homophobic bigotry? Yes, Bishop Eddie Long. And if there's a porn version, it'll probably be called Bishop Eddie Long Dong. That's why we need people to invest in us. We have too many great projects in mind. The porn version of Eddie Long. Bishop Eddie Long Dong, who was not even one male parishioner. It's up to four. And they felt coerced. And even though that sounds a bit idiotic, I can see it, because he is in his church, in his mega church, he is a power figure. And people are going to revere him. And it's true, they don't know any better. They revere these kinds of assholes the same way people revered priests before they knew better. And so, yes, this person who's like a power figure can manipulate and coerce them, even if it was something that was not entirely consensual. Bishop Eddie Long Dong, in a homophobic church of hate, actually is in a gay sex scandal. And if it was consenting, I think we would have responded by saying, who the fuck cares? But he's being sued by these people, which, you know, that cannot be easy for them to do. I mean, a lot of assholes are going to comment articles and, like all the baggers, you know, would say they're just after money. But in their retardo knee-jerk reactions, it's actually very hard for victims and abuse survivors to just say, yes, I think I'm going to sue the perpetrator. Because there, again, was a power dynamic. And so Bishop Eddie Long Dong abused that power. And it's up to four, I believe, up to four victims who are coming forward. And speaking of the American Christian Taliban types, they have a law that, sadly enough, is not even being acknowledged, but it's heading towards being passed. And even though we don't get into politics in detail that much on the show, you know, or say stop this bill or whatever, this is too fucked up and utterly insane. There's a bill with a very deceptive name that is the No to Taxpayer Abortion Act, or No to Taxpayer Funded Abortion, or something that jibes with the rhetoric of the Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Engel, teabagger, anti-choice terrorist kind of rhetoric. And it's pretty fucked up. They know that they can't overturn Roe versus Wade because it's already been reviewed by the Supreme Court, and they haven't overturned it, even with fuckheads like Antonin Scalia and other Reagan appointees and appointees from the Bushes. Roe versus Wade has not been overturned, but they're going for the next best thing for them, which is to say, we'll make them jump through hoops of fire, watch propagandistic videos from Christian Taliban types, look at a sonogram, and jump through rings of fire, not get coverage from most insurance plans, not have access in most parts of the nation. So we still have Roe versus Wade, but good luck getting one if this bill passes. So the bill has to be stopped, and it's just too fucking insane. And of course, like we've said throughout the going on 10 years of the show, always be updated and know how to help somebody in need, no matter what the laws are, so that if you get such a crisis call, you will know either how to help the person yourself or how to point them to somebody who will help them. All right, any more news? One more thing. This is getting really close. Yes, the majority of Americans realize that the war against weed was one of the most stupid, wasteful, idiotic, utterly insane ventures ever. And we've had that war thanks to Ronald Reagan, Lyndon LaRouche, and other psychos. But the billions and billions of tax dollars for a war against a plant, freeing all kinds of psychos, including teabaggers and militia types, to make room for the podheads who have to serve their mandatory minimum sentences. And basing it on false information, more and more people are waking up to what total bullshit that whole scene is. And support for the legalization of marijuana has skyrocketed in this nation, even in some conservative circles as well. And in California, besides having the choice of voting for total psychotic idiots like Carla Fiorini, if I said that right, and Meg Whitman, and other total insane people, the people of California get to vote on whether or not to legalize marijuana. And we're going to be watching that, as well as all the races that have teabagger psychos in it, like Rand Paul, Sharon Engel, Christine O'Donnell, and too many to even try to remember that many names. But we will be watching the legalization ballot, because the DEA is still run and implemented by total assholes who don't have any regard for the laws protecting medical marijuana patients and dispensaries. And just another little reminder, the word libertarian is a nice word with nice implications, because it sounds a lot like liberty. But as we covered in the show about Ron and Rand Paul, libertarians are usually as fucking whacked as Ron and Rand Paul. And when they say libertarian or liberty, they mean liberty for the corporate and Wall Street psychos who fucked the entire nation, especially during the Bush years when they were deregulated more than ever. And they should be even more deregulated and have the liberty to fuck the people of this nation even further, and not in a fun way. And yes, they have some of them anyway, have these like hip policies, which you have to greet with skepticism. Like, some will say we're pro-marijuana, we're anti-war, etc. But that's like believing that Karl Rove or John Boehner stands for those things. All right, we heard Big Brother and the Holding Company from the 90s when Lisa Battle was singing on another tour that brought them through Philadelphia. They had another woman singing who was also great, and she was very pregnant when they toured and came through Philadelphia, and she belted out even the old Janis songs like they were nothing. And her name is Haley DeVestern. Haley DeVestern. And we're going to play a track from her album. And this is also from the late 90s. From Haley DeVestern's album called Sugar Free, this is a track called Animal.
Feeling an animal, I can't. four gentlemen and one great, great roar. Big Brother.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message. It was a sad time in our history when the 1960s happened, and people started thinking for themselves and living freer, and advocating for human rights and change. But fortunately, Ronald Reagan and the moral majority and Reverend Barry Falwell stopped all that. And now we have good, wholesome entertainment like Toby Keith, Ted Nugent, Kid Rock, Victoria Jackson, Dennis Miller, to name but a few. And it is these good Americans that remind us that we don't need these kinds of crazy hippies from the 1960s like Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. I'm George W. Bush. And I approve this message.
There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. And you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone. All the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't breathe the bracing air when I'm gone. And I can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. Won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be running from the rain when I'm gone. And I can't even suffer from the pain when I'm gone. Can't say who's to praise and who's to blame when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone. And the evenings and the mornings will be one when I'm gone. Can't be singing louder than the guns while I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. All my days won't be dances of delight when I'm gone. And the sands will be shifting from my sight when I'm gone. Can't add my name into the fight while I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't be laughing at the lies when I'm gone. And I can't question how or when or why when I'm gone. Can't live proud enough to die when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. There's no place in this world where I'll belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. And you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it. I guess I'll have to do it. Guess I'll have to do it while I'm here.
This is Dr. Laura Holm, and I want to talk about our sainted tea bagging party. People, these tea parties were not I Hate Obama rallies. No, they weren't. These were to let Congress know that the people are dissatisfied with what they're doing at the moment. I get asked all the damn time why we did not protest when our dear President Bush was in office. And I tell him that we loved everything he did. Besides, someone emailed me that our dear President Bush was doing his own tea bagging in private. I guess that's in support of our efforts. Bless him. I was told that we right-wing GOP types sure seem to love our tea bags. They say that some of us even go from party to party, getting tea bagged again and again and again. I have no idea what they mean, but bring the tea bagging on. Hey, you all, can I secede from America? All hail tea bagging. This is Dr. Laura Hoa saying keep your bags close and your baggers closer. And teabag a liberal Dem before they teabag you. Bye-bye.
Yes, it's that very special time once again. It's time for Asshole of the Week. And we have a runner-up. Sunday, September 26th, 2010, at VoltaRadio.com, ReverendBookburn.com, and RadioForAll.net. Tonight, our runner-up to Asshole of the Week is not an individual, but an entire category of people. Tonight, the runner-up to Asshole of the Week is the necro industry that exploits rock stars, rips off their families, and creates a necro culture that includes bad movies that dumb down the characters. The necromaniacs that fucked over royally the Jimi Hendrix estate. The people who ripped off Janis Joplin and misrepresented her. And one who's about to with a new movie. And, of course, the Kurt Cobain estate, because that was just too ridiculous. The idiotic books and conspiracy theories and even movies made to that effect. And in the same way that they dumbed down Abbie Hoffman and the other Chicago 7 defendants in a lot of movies, Jimi Hendrix was not the dumbass character that was portrayed in the film in which somebody portrayed him. He was the man you saw playing live at the Jimmy Plays Berkeley film, which is a classic. The necro industry, runners up to Asshole of the Week. And that means that we need a recipient so special who could even outshine the runner-ups. Tonight, that very special recipient is...
Flag is but a symbol, son.
What happened to the front?
The ruling came under immediate attack.
Now we need fart sounds for this whole group. Starting with Cheech from Cheech and Chong. Asshole of the Week is Bishop Eddie Long. Of course you guys knew that. Otherwise known as Bishop Eddie Long Dong. For the coerced and manipulated sexual abuse of his congregants, who are males, some very young. And if it was consensual and with an equal adult, that would have been totally cool. But you are an abuser. You are a manipulator. You are the height of hypocrite, since that totally flies in the face of your bigoted preachings. And, of course, you are even more whacked than anyone already knew because of your own self-hatred and internal conflict that makes you even screwier. Bishop Eddie Longdong, you are asshole of the week. Let's kill the fart sense. Thank you. You heard Ms. Terry from RadioLeft.com doing Dr. Lara Whore, the 2009 version. Phil Oakes, the late and phenomenal 60s folk singer Phil Oakes, did When I'm Gone. Before that, you heard Reverend Bookburn's animation theme. The Ramones did Substitute. The Cramps did Bikini Girls with Machine Guns. Yngwie Malmsteen did Spanish Castle Magic. Janis Joplin with Big Brother and the Holding Company did Combination of the Two, and started off with Haley DeVestern doing Animal. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight the theme has been tribute to Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin, gone for 40 years. Appreciation, acknowledgement, and honor to both of them for being the people that they were, for the musicians that they were, and their contributions to music, to the countercultures, and to the movements of the late 1960s and early 70s, and just the fucking phenomenal music that both issued, some of which we play tonight. We are returning in 2 weeks on October 10th for the theme Bewitched in Delaware. And yes, there is a movement to masturbate to pictures of Christine O'Donnell, the anti-masturbation Christian supremacist, anti-choice under all circumstances, Delaware candidate Christine O'Donnell. And if you're having trouble doing so with her pictures, we're going to help you. And we're going to have a witchy time as well. Bewitched in Delaware, October 10th, here at VoltaRadio.com. Details and updates, future shows, and all playlists at ReverendBookburn.com. Write to the Reverend Rev Bookburn at SJCDC.org. On YouTube, youtube.com/RevBookburn. On MySpace, myspace.com/ReverendBookburn. On Facebook, which does not allow Rev to be a first name, the Rev, last name Bookburn. And on the info tab, the link to Paige's Rev Bookburn fan site. We are going to play a very special closing track and then get out of here. This is one of the greatest releases by Jimi Hendrix, one of the greatest releases arguably in that entire time period. The selections on the first Woodstock release from Jimi Hendrix's set in August 1969, doing the Star Spangled Banner, Purple Haze, and a track only acknowledged on here as instrumental solo. Live at Woodstock, this is Jimi Hendrix, starting with Star Spangled Banner. See you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Like again, you can leave if you want to. We're just jamming, that's all. Okay? You can leave or you can clap.
Yeah.
Francisco.
change my living standard and move up time. Ba 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 ba. So long, my honey, so long. Too bad you had to drift away. 'Cause I could use some company right here.
Appreciate y'all having patience with us, because this really, really is nerve-wracking, man. That's why we waited till the sun up, and maybe the new day might give us a chance. And, I don't know, blah, blah, woof, woof. Sky Church is still here, as you can see. We're going to do this song dedicated to maybe a soldier in the army singing about this old lady that he dreams about and held a machine gun instead, or it could be a cat, maybe, trying to fall in love with a girl, maybe, but a little bit too scared. That's where the problems come from sometimes, isn't it? I mean, the cat really insecure a little bit, so they call girls groupies, and they call girls this. And they call passive people hippies and blah, blah, woof, woof, on down the line. That's because they're fucking not in love, man. That's what's happening. That's the other half of a man as a woman. And we like to play a thing called Isabella. Don't you ever forget it. Tune up between time, but well, hell, Cowboys are the only one to stay in tune anyway, you know. So we don't want to play too loud for you, so therefore we just play very quiet and very out of tune. Are these microphones all screwed up again, as usual? Yeah.
I know what you mean.
It's so embarrassing, man. I'm sitting up here. Those people are looking at me, too, man. Damn. Half a million eyes. We're very sorry for the delays, but like we're trying to get things together in between time, because like I said before, we only jammed a couple of times. But this is the first ray, you know, so there's a whole lot more to go.
This is a song dedicated to the memory of my best friend. His name was Jimmy. Me and my best friend traveled down life's highway. We talked of how things should be, of peace and love for you and me. Of a life without hate, of a life filled with love. On that first day, he played my guitar. Somehow I knew he'd travel far, reach out and find his distant star. Many things he would try, for he knew soon he'd die. Oh, why did it happen? Oh, the sadness, he is gone. But he left us something that time can't erase. Now he's loved by us all. Yes, he's loved by us all.
That is my story. It has no end.
Though Jimmy's gone, he's not alone.
His memory still lingers on.
And the thoughts that remain, though they still bring us pain. 5 years, this he's said. He's not gone, he's just dead.
Thank you.
seems the breed has gone away. Retirement in yesterday, but they live on in memory. Quotation marks in history. Fireside talks have faded in. Monopoly where no one wins. We just end up where we.
Let you go. to let you alone. At the man at the back door, he ain't gonna let you go, yeah. He's a funny old man, won't let you alone. At the man at the back door, he never let you go.
Eureka, I found it.
Bye.